Why don't you just turn to your neighbor this morning and just say to them, you look pregnant with potential. Don't forget the word potential. I had you worried there for a second, didn't I? Hallelujah. So you're pregnant with potential, church. Amen. And I want to start by saying that the church is coming to a place that it has never been, it has never seen, and it has never experienced before. Amen? It will be the former and the latter rain together. We've already heard that this morning. And this morning I'm believing that you're going to be greatly encouraged because I don't want to teach so much, but I want to preach to you this morning. I want to stir your hearts afresh because God is bringing a new life upon this church. Do we believe that? Man, I'm getting this sermon organized. I can't even sit at my desk. I'm walking around the house and I'm thanking the Lord and I'm getting excited because I see the heart of the Lord and what He wants to do in this season, and it's stirring me. It's exciting me. Amen. And we don't come to church because of any preacher, but unfortunately many do. Too many are following a ministry or a man or some sort of experience. But in these days, people will be in church because God is here. Amen. And it's not going to be about some certain ministry or some well-known name. Jesus will be exalted in His house. Let Him be high and lifted up. Amen. Let His praise be on our lips. Hallelujah. The only thing why you should lift up your pastor is in prayer. And they need it, folks. They do. I need it. Hallelujah. But Jesus will be high and lifted up to receive all honor and all praise and all glory because He alone is worthy of all praise and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So we come here today to meet with God. Hallelujah. Because this is His house. And it's a gathering of like-minded believers where the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is working on the hearts of men for the edification of the saints, because we need changing, every single one of us, me included. And so God uses the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists to equip, for His bride is going to be seen in a measure that has never been seen before in the history of creation itself. That's exciting. And the end result, of course, is that the former, it'll be the former and the latter rain together. It's a double portion. It's a mighty move of God, church. It's a harvest. It's a bride that is prepared. And it's a body that is functioning as it's been purposed to function right from the very beginning. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 is our passage of Scripture this morning. You can turn there if you like. You can mark it. You can look at it. You can read it 100 times like I did. You probably know it. It's an awesome scripture. And this is what it says. It's one word, then it has a comma. Now, I haven't looked at how the wording actually is, but I'm assuming it's something like, arise! Not just arise, but arise! Shine! I believe those words will be declarations that God is saying in His Word. For thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee. Man, isn't that exciting? That's amazing. Isaiah 61, is that it? Yeah, that's what I said, didn't I? Oh, I've got Isaiah 61 here. Oh, look, so long as you guys found it, that's great. You know, like, did you find it this morning? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're looking at the Word, you know, searching it out for yourselves. There's a great example there this morning. Don't listen to me, right? So the evidence... See, this hasn't happened yet, this scripture. And the evidence will be that the church has begun to arise and shine. For His light has come. And His glory is going to be seen. Man, that is so exciting. And it's not just going to be seen. It's going to be seen upon you. Every single one of you here. Every single one of you. Amen. Oh man, this is where we're heading, friends. And this is the prophetic scripture of things to come. It hasn't happened yet. And the interesting part is that it's in the midst of gross darkness. Now, if I shine one of the kids' torches in the middle of the daytime, it doesn't seem to shine that bright. But I tell you, when there's darkness and they get under their beds and they shine it, that light seems to be really bright. And it's seen more than ever before, amen? And so whenever there's darkness and God's light shine, it just brings even more glory to Himself and the focus upon Him even more so, amen? Now, in Joshua's time, they had an appointed time to deal with the flesh. And they sat on the banks, if you remember, to cut off and to deal with the flesh, to circumcise themselves. Now, a New Testament believes it's talking about circumcision of the heart, to deal with the issues of the heart. Now, likewise, I believe God allows a season for His children to deal with stuff, but that must come to an end because we're actually called to be a body of overcomers. Amen? Because that was the ministry that Jesus came. He came as an overcomer that we might be overcomers. Hallelujah. And for this is the time that the Lord is going to begin to cause His people to begin to arise and stand. Do you believe that, church? And the end result is that there's going to be a remnant that's going to be restored. And it will be healed and it will be a sinless church because sin and death will be under its feet in Jesus' mighty name. And I believe that, church. I believe that the church will walk in complete wholeness and healing and sin will have no place in it. It will be a perfect bride. Amen. This is where we're heading, church. This is exciting. Hallelujah. And we will move forth as a body of overcomers, having endured to the end. Wow. And you see, when they crossed the Jordan, it tells us that the waters were held back to the city of Adam and they were held back to the salt sea. So what we see there is the waters were held back. They dealt with the flesh. The waters were parted so they could cross through. It was held back to the city of Adam. That's a picture of the flesh. And it was held back to the salt sea. That's a picture of death. And so the church journeyed between sin and death into the promises and the provision that God had for His people. Can we say amen this morning? Hallelujah. How many people believe that God is causing His church to come back to how it's meant to be? Yeah. The church is going to become more evangelical. It'll be a place of His word, amen? And the waters will stir. We see a picture there of the pool of Bethesda. The waters will be stirred and many will be healed in this time. Many will be delivered. Many will be set free in the days to come, amen? For His glory will be seen upon His people. His glory will be seen upon His house. Hallelujah. It has to become that. Because the days of the locust and the canker worm and all that has been robbed and has been taken shall be restored and given as an inheritance to the saints. See, this is where we're heading, church. I'm just putting some of it together. Does it excite you? Oh man, I'll tell you. I thought I was going to launch off through my ceiling the other day. It was... You know, the word is going to be powerful in the days to come because a great harvest is upon us and the determining of your eternal habitation is at stake. That's where we're at right now. And it has to do with the Holy Spirit moving in these days in an unprecedented measure, for it'll be the former and the latter rain together. We're talking about a double. Amen. And so when we talk about these things, one of the things it reminds me of is the picture of the lame man. And let me explain some points to the story. And I'm just touching on some things today because I want you to catch some stuff in your spirit. I want you to be stirred about what God is doing. I want you to understand the season that we're coming into. Understand the gravity of it. Understand the power of what's going to take place. Amen. So here we see this lame man, and it's a prophetic picture of the church in the days ahead. I'm sure we all know the story of it. He's sitting by a gate, beautiful. Firstly, this man's healing came at an appointed time. We know there's times and seasons are in the Lord, right? So there's an appointed time. Secondly, this healing came to a man who had never walked. Now, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, the church has never really had the proper full movement of its limbs. It's like the body of the dry bones that we mentioned earlier. But there's coming an appointed time, church, that the Spirit of God is going to move and restore and bring life that will cause the church to arise and stand. And what did this man do? There was jumping and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine the joy that's going to be in his house in the days to come? Because that's a picture of the church. How much praise is going to erupt through the hearts of men and the saints of God to give him thanks and give him honor because of what is taking place in the city and in the nations and in the lives of people. There's going to be much rejoicing in the days ahead, just like this lame man. For the lame shall be restored, amen. And it's like God is saying, I don't want to give you silver and gold. The whole world is chasing after that. What did they say? Silver and gold have I none, right? But what I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And you see, what is given is far greater than what can be purchased by man. Silver and gold doesn't even get a look in. Yes, God will use that, but he has something far greater than that, amen? God has something far greater for us. God has something far greater for you. Hallelujah. And it's a river of life. There's been a lot of talk about rivers this morning, even in our prayer meeting. But it is, that's what it is. It's a river of life that flows from God himself, and it accomplishes all that it was set forth to do. You know, that's a guarantee that you can't find anywhere else in the world. That his word is going to go forth and accomplish all that it's set forth to do. You can take that to the bank, folks. It's a done deal. If God's declared it, he's going to watch over to perform that, amen? So why do we question it then if God has declared it? He's given us a guarantee of his word. And I believe, friends, that we are at the beginning of an appointed time that the Lord has for this church. Now, the exact timing of that, I don't know. You know, 1,000 years as a day unto the Lord, well, I don't think it's that long. Definitely not. But what I do know, so many conversations I've had with you folks, different folks here, ones that have been new in the church, ones that the Lord's shown stuff, so many words have been spoken from this pulpit by preachers, prophetically spoken, whatever it might be. So much stuff has been spoken over this church in regards to a building, to revival, to a move of God. And I'm talking over like a 10-year period that I'm beginning to trip over the huge mound of confirmation that's been given to this church. And I'm serious when I say that. We have had so much stuff spoken over this church, it's crazy. And I look and we're a remnant. And if you look naturally, it's impossible. But God uses the impossible because that way his glory is seen, amen? Something is beginning to shift in the spirit. Can we say amen to that? You know, something is stirring in my bones, church. I don't know exactly what it is, but something's going on. I can sense it. Can you sense it, church? Something's beginning to stir. Something's taking place. I can't see it with my natural eyes, but I can see something in the spiritual. I can't quite understand what it is right now, but I see what the word is going to say, what's going to come, and it's beginning to stir my heart afresh because I know God's on the move, and when God's on the move, something good is going to take place, amen? And it might be in the midst of gross darkness, but it's going to be something powerful, unprecedented. The power of God himself to flow as a river upon his people and out of his church. Wow. This is where we're heading, folks. It's crazy. It's like the prophetic word and the things that God has spoken in his word that we have not seen is beginning to cause these bones to shake and come together. Amen. And we know what happens. The bones end up standing up. arise, shine, for thy light has come. Now, thirdly, the healing that came to this man came to a man of misplaced expectations. And I think God is causing our expectations to be shifted, the focus that we have onto different things. Amen. Because sometimes we're focused too much on things that are just insignificant and unimportant. Money was not the answer. How much do we focus on that? A lot. Guilty. Right? It's hard when you've got bills to pay and you don't have the money. Let's be honest. But God's going to transition us to a place where we can trust Him. It's just like a certain preacher or man. They're not the answer. The things of this world will never be the answer. The only thing needed is Jesus Christ. Amen. And so He's going to place our expectation upon Him, that we're going to look to Him as our provider. We're going to look to Him as our comforter. That we're going to look to Him as our source. That we're going to look to Him as our protector. That we're going to look to Him as our strong tower. Amen. And then we're going to rejoice, not in the bag full of money that I've got in my pocket. We're going to rejoice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know it's come from Him and Him alone, and no man's had nothing else to do with it. It's been Jesus all the way. Amen. And He's going to cause our eyes to be focused upon Him. Hallelujah. The expectation upon Jesus. And the result of this appointed time was a restoration. You know, when this lame man was restored, there was a restoration with the Spirit of God moving that caused a revival to take place on Solomon's porch. You guys probably know the story. And when I think about double portion, you can't help but think of Elisha and Elijah. Elisha got a double. And I was thinking about this and I had a question. How did Elisha know that there was a double to be had? How did he know that there was more? He'd seen miracles, he'd seen the dead rise, he'd seen miracle provision, and yet when he was asked by Elijah what he can do for him, he says in 2 Kings 2:9, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. How did he know that? How did he know that a double was available? And I think it actually speaks a lot about his heart. He must have had such a heart for God, and such a heart for more and wanting more, that out of that zeal, there was a knowing that there was more to be had. And when you look down in 2 Kings 2:10, it says, Elijah says, if thou see me, if you see me. And the word see is very interesting, because it means to gaze. It means not just to naturally see, but to perceive, to understand, to experience, to discern. It means all those things. And Elijah was able to see. And so it means he was able to experience. He was able to discern. He was able to perceive spiritual things. He didn't limit himself out of his human understanding and knowledge, right? But he knew that God was able to bring forth more. And it was an encounter with God. He saw the heavens open. He saw all that stuff take place. There was an encounter, and it was out of that encounter that brought forth increase. The heavens opened, and what happened? Elisha saw. He was able to see. And the same is true with Joshua. Right before they cross over to take Jericho, what happens? It says in Joshua 5:13, and it came to pass when Joshua was at Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, what did he see? He saw a man with a great sword, and he basically says to him, are you for me or against me? And he ends up falling down and worshipping and says, what saith the Lord unto my servant? And the Lord, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where they stand is holy ground. And Joshua did so. See, Joshua, right before he received increase, right before he had a breakthrough, right before he took the city for God, he, just like Elisha, had an encounter with God. Amen. His eyes were opened. And what happened? He saw. He perceived. He experienced. Any double portion from the looks of what I can see, any increase comes by way of getting before the Lord and allowing Him to open your eyes that you might see. See, it's relationship. Intercession. There's a word needed these days for sure. Waiting on the Lord. God says, my house will be a house of prayer for all nations. It's missing these days. God wants us to encounter Him. Amen. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to sup with Him. He wants us to commune with Him. Amen. Jesus wants us to experience His love that He has for us, because we're living in a fatherless and a loveless generation, right? So where do we get that from? From Him. Amen. He's the best father of all. He can love you more than any person. He can touch your heart better than any person can. Amen. He can cause insecurities to be broken off, rejection to be gone. He can cause you to be established in Himself, that you might stand firm and know that you're accepted and are beloved. Amen. But you need to draw close to Him. He wants you to encounter these things. Amen. Matthew 22:37 says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Wow. That's challenging for me. I don't know if I've given Him all my heart in the sense of everything. I think I slip up a fair bit. If I'm honest, with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, will, and emotions, and with all your mind, right? This is the first and greatest commandment, that everything about me, every part of me, loves the Lord your God. Wow. Okay. And you know, in a love relationship between a husband and a wife, you get to know each other pretty well. You get to know each other's heart, right? And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are called sons of God by the Spirit of adoption. We become a part of His royal family. Now, because we are a part of His family, we are now in a position to experience His throne as heirs of His power and His authority, meaning God gives us access as sons to His name and to His power. Right? Revelation 3:21, if you want a scripture, Romans 8:17. But as the bride, we're in a position to experience God's heart, His heart towards us, His affection towards us, His mercy towards us, His kindness towards us. Amen? And both are unique positions of privilege before God. The difference is usually the focus is upon the throne, the authority, the power, right? The gifts. And not the heart. There needs to be balance, you see. Because God is wanting the bride to know His heart. We know who we are. We know our authority. We know that we're sons of the Most High God. We know we have access. We know we can come boldly to the throne of grace. But do we know His heart? His affection towards you, His love towards you, His heart towards His creation. You see, it's all about relationship and intimacy. In Revelation 22:17, it's one of my favorite scriptures. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the waters of life freely. Wow, there's a free gift before us, church. It doesn't actually say the Spirit and the army, the Spirit and the priests. What it says is the Spirit and the bride together say, come. It's a double. It's a union. It's two as one. It's a marriage right here. bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, together as one. This is the first time in history that the Spirit and the prepared bride together are functioning as one. The Spirit and the bride say come together. That's talking about the Spirit of God upon his church, upon his people, functioning together. Man, that's exciting. Amen. The Spirit is resting upon the bride. The glory of the Lord is upon thee. And now it's seen by all men. The church are going to, the world is going to see this church. The world are going to see the glory of the Lord upon his people. Amen. The world is going to see the glory of the Lord upon his house. It's going to be that lighthouse. It is going to shine. It is going to be a light on the hill for all men to see. It's going to be a place of power, church. A place of reverence, of godly fear, of authority and power and might. And his word is going to go forward as a sharp sword. And it's going to do a mighty work in these days. A mighty work. Hallelujah. And so what is needed is found in Joel chapter 2. You can read this tonight. It might freak you out a little bit. In fact, the whole book of Joel might freak you out. Because the issue today is an issue of the heart. Joel 2:13, it says, so rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great, of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. This is who our God is, but he says, I want you to rend your heart. I want you to come before me. Return to God with all that you have, your whole being, your whole heart, your whole life, your whole soul, your mind, everything. I want it all to love me with everything. Amen. Rend thy heart and not thy garments. It's speaking of a preparation to take place in the hearts of men. So this is something that we have to do. Amen? Something we have to do to put things in order. Now in Kings chapter 3, let me just have a quick drink. There's the king of Edom, the king of Judah, and the king of Israel, and they all go into battle against the king of Moab. And they go into the desert for 7 days. They have all the soldiers that they need. They have all the weapons that they need. The spears were sharpened. Their arrows were ready. Their swords were prepared. They were ready, except they run out of something pretty important. It's called water. I think that's funny. Here they are in a desert, and they haven't got any water. Now, if I was going into the desert, I think the one thing, I mean, I'm not a real clever man, but I think the one thing I'd make sure I had was water, right? So they called for Elisha. And Elisha comes down there and he says, I want you to dig a hole out there in the desert. And in fact, I want you to dig lots and lots and lots of holes because tomorrow it's going to rain. And if you dig the holes, God will fill the holes with water. And not only that, he's going to allow you to go over there and whip the Moabites. And then Elijah leaves. So they're left with a word from the Lord. And it's up to them to make the choice of what they do. So the soldiers had two choices, to dig or not to dig, right? Do we dig or don't we dig? Do we believe this or don't we believe this? Do we appropriate the word or don't we appropriate the word? The army could have said, we're not digging holes in the desert. That's ridiculous. There's no water here to be had, right? They could have thought that Elisha was some crazy old fool. Why would we want to dig holes in the desert? Yet if they had done that, there would have been no water. But those kings did a very wise thing. They decided to trust the word of the Lord that was spoken by the prophet of God. And so they said, all right, guys, who bought an excavator? No, they didn't say that. I bet you they wish they had one. So they went out and started the laborious task of digging lots and lots of holes by hand. And the Bible says the next morning when they woke up, those ditches were filled with water. That's a miracle. That's a supernatural miracle. So here's the key. There's some work required to receive God's blessing. Sometimes it's practical. God wants to bless every person in this room in a certain way without exception. There's no one less than another one. There's only God's principles, and we just have to walk in those, right? Sometimes God says, hey, listen, I'm ready to bless you, but I can't bless you until there is a place that has been prepared for you to contain the blessing of God. So sometimes he might say, I need you to dig a ditch. I need to cut some stuff off your life. I might need you to lay some things down, right? I need you to get a place ready so you can receive what I have for you, because it's more than what you can think. There needs to be a preparation. I need you to rend your hearts and not your garments. I need you to begin to pray. I need you to begin to raise the standard in your life. I require your faithfulness in this hour. I need you to wait upon me so I can begin to open your eyes. Amen. And what was the end result? Water. Well, that's pretty significant, because water represents the Holy Spirit. Now, when I mention water, I'm not just talking about any water here, folks. I'm talking about living water. Living water. Living water. It's life. You know, that scripture that we've been talking about this in this meeting on Wednesdays, out of your bellies shall flow rivers, not just a river, rivers, plural, right? Rivers. This has never happened before either. This is a prophetic thing of days ahead. It's rivers. Alistair goes on to say, hey, it's not a trickle, it's not a drip, it's not a squirt. It's rivers. Powerful, mighty rivers from the throne of God. Rivers. When that river first started in Genesis and it came out from God himself and it split into four representing the four winds, the four corners of the earth, the four seasons, right? So we know the river went out there to encompass and to touch the entire world. And now it's coming in as one together, as a mighty powerful force, right? As a mighty powerful force for these days ahead. Unprecedented. Never happened before. These rivers are going to flow. And as I was thinking about this, in New Zealand, we used to go and we used to watch the floodgates open on a dam. And the spillway would just pour out and it was just all dry and it would just fill up with this raging torrent. And who could stand against this raging torrent? But this was just one river. Can you imagine that same thing, these rivers that have been held back that God's going to release in this day, in this hour? And it's not just a river, it's a rivers. The power and the force of what is about to come upon this earth, the power and the might of His majesty that's about to flow upon the church. Do we understand what is happening here, church? These rivers that are about to flow. This is mighty, it's powerful, it's never been seen before, and it's stirring my heart, church. It's amazing. This is what is coming upon the earth. Rivers of the Most High God from the throne of God Himself. Who can stand against that? Oh, man. Whew. For the glory of the Lord is upon thee. Man, I love that. Isn't that exciting? And it comes from relationship and intimacy with the Father that you might be able to see, that you might be able to experience, that you might be able to discern, just like Elisha did. A heart after God. I want to share you a story as we finish this morning. By Mount Ararat, where Noah's Ark came to rest, and yes, they have found that Ark. They found it many years ago, actually, to be honest. By Mount Ararat, where Noah's Ark came to rest, there is a deep hole that can be climbed down under the present-day church called Khor Virap. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but that's what you hear. And around the year 284, there was a Christian man called Gregory the Illuminator. They called him Saint Gregory. And he was imprisoned in this underground cell for 13 years. And this cell was like really, really deep. It was a big cell, but it was deep underground with rocks around it. You can get a picture and see inside of it. And he was one of the first missionaries to come from Persia into Armenia to preach the gospel. However, the king at that time, he hated him. And he didn't like this preacher, Gregory. And so he imprisoned him for 13 years in this underground hole. Well, it would have been longer, but long story short, the king got sick and started to go a little bit insane, I guess you would say. Lost part of his insanity and reason. And in the midst of this king's sickness, one of the king's friends had a dream. The Lord gave him a dream to show him that the only person that could set this king free was this man that he hated and imprisoned for 13 years. And apparently Jesus would come and visit this man, and angels would come and visit this man who'd been discarded in this hole in the ground, and would minister to him. And he was interceding for this nation because he was sent as a missionary to the nation of Armenia. So guess what happens? He gets taken to the king, and he prays to the king, and the king gets healed. And what happens? The king goes then on to proclaim the whole nation of Armenia as a Christian nation. Makes a declaration over the whole land. And it's the first nation in 295, I think it is then, or 297, it's the first nation to ever be proclaimed as a Christian nation. The whole nation is one as a whole by this man who spent 13 years. Now, the point I'm making is this. God's good at hiding stuff, right? We already heard that there's some rivers to come. There's his glory to shine. We haven't seen it yet. It's not seen, it's hidden, right? Maybe for you it's not 13 years of intercession for a nation like this man. Maybe you've been standing and believing all your life, but at some point God is going to say, now is the time. A bit like a cricket match. You're up to bat, right? And out you come, because the Lord's calling you. Now's the time. Now is the time. This is the day. This is the hour, right? And an unprecedented move of God is going to take place that will shake and change the nations of the world. What is coming has never happened before, church. I want us to grasp that and understand that this morning. Pentecost came, we were talking about this as well the other day. Pentecost came and it shook the world. The crucifixion came and it shook the world. And it's not to take away from those, but what is coming, church, is the final triumphant move of God, where everything that has happened over the entire dispensation of time is fast upon us for a day and an hour as such as we're about to walk into. I believe that. I sense this in my spirit and my bones, right? That we are the generation. I really believe that. We're in the zone, church. We're in the zone. And it may take some time yet. However, this is the hour where I just feel like God is pointing his hand at our lives. He's pointing his hand at his church, amen? At his people. And he's saying, now is the time to put your house in order. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. This is the time right now. Amen. This is the day when I'm about to move, and I hear the Lord saying, prepare, 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 prepare. Hallelujah. For he's coming with a sword. He's coming in power. He's coming as a righteous judge, and the whole earth is going to groan and shake at the power of the majesty of our God. For this coming move of God is not just to touch a person or a city. It's coming to touch nations. It's coming to shake the whole earth. Amen. And just like this man that was locked up, at some point, you will be shot out as an arrow, as a polished shaft in his hand. And you will hit a mark. Make no bones about that. You will hit a mark because it's God who's going to shoot you out. Amen. And God will be glorified in his house. And God will be glorified in his church. And God will be glorified in this city. Amen. Because he's worthy of all praise. Hallelujah.